Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is The Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. It's Wednesday, June the 5th, 2013. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. It's Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere on your schedule by visiting buckmastershow.com. The show is also podcast and posted to the TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com, and we have links now on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, that's gvnews.com. And we are prominently displayed on blogforarizona.com. On today's show, we will talk with former Tucson Mayor George Miller. Mayor Miller is urging the Tucson City Council to take a second look at the budget that the council members are about to approve. 20 minutes past the hour, Keith Rosenblum, our Mexico contributor, will have some thoughts about the Mexican justice system. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll get an update from the Capitol from House Representative Andrea D'Alessandro, District 2 Democrat from Saharita. Then we'll close out the show talking about travel to Mars and all of the dangers that are inherent in such an undertaking with Dr. Mark Sykes, head of the the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. If you have a question or comment, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line. The number is 790-2040. We also have a very active presence on Facebook. You can put a question up there, and we'll monitor that, and we will get the question on the air. The Facebook page is simply Bill Buckmaster. Now let's join George Miller on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mayor Miller was the mayor of Tucson from 1991 to 1999. He served 14 years on the Tucson City Council representing Ward 3. Mayor Miller, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. And how are you doing, Bill?
Doing very well. It's good to hear from you again. I saw the op-ed piece that you had in the Sunday Arizona Daily Star where you were basically saying, hey, let's take another look at this city budget. What are some of your concerns with the budget?
Well, basically, it boils down to you draw up a budget, you assume that you can handle not only the expenses of the government that year, but also in future years. And that's basically the problem here. Yes, they've balanced the budget for this coming year. It starts at the end of June and goes for the next 12 months. But it's in 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 that there's real trouble. And I mentioned that, for instance, there's a deferred principal to be paid on a debt that's going to be over $13 million. There's police who are being paid by a federal grant of $4.2 million. That is going to disappear in 2015. You're going to have to face up to that in 2015. There's also other salaries for police that are going to be faced with at $2 million. Pension increases for the people who work for the city of Tucson's another $6 million, and so on. So those are the points, Bill, that indicate that coming next year, at this time, there's going to be real deficit, and because of that, how do you meet that? And here you are talking about giving people raises this year, when what you'll be faced with next year is laying people off or furloughing them many days during the year. So you know it's like your own private home. You either have enough money to run it or you don't. And if you are running short, you're very careful on what you're going to spend. And all I'm saying is that hold on a second. Don't go ahead with what you've approved, because you are actually jeopardizing the people who are working for you right now in the very immediate future. Granted that the city employees have not been given raises for a number of years, any real raises for a number of years, it's still better that they work rather than that they not work because other people have gotten a raise.
So you're saying that in a way we're just putting off the inevitable, and the city manager, Mr. Miranda, Richard Miranda, who, by the way, you hired, I believe, as the police chief in Tucson when you were the mayor, who will be, by the way, on our program on Friday. He says we don't have any cuts right now, and he says we're having a 4% increase in operating budget. But you're saying that we're just delaying what is inevitable. Is that what I'm hearing from you, Mayor Miller?
That's exactly the point. It's, you know, the expression, you kick the can down the road. That's exactly what they're doing here. And it just doesn't make any sense. And so, therefore, this was what brought the article to, it brought me to write the article. And I feel very strongly about the city of Tucson. I care about it very much. Even though I've been out of office, this is the 13th year out of office, I still care very much about it, and don't want to see actually a disintegration of the workforce, because you're going to have to do that if you don't have the money. I mean, it's that simple. I might add that when I was a councilman, we ran into this kind of problem once, where the city manager at that time, who wasn't Mr. Miranda, of course, and the mayor brought forth a policy to the city, to the council, to raise wages and lay off 300 people. And the city council member said, "No, wait a second." And we had a discussion at the table, and we voted no pay raises, but nobody laid off. And so, in a sense, I'm saying the same thing now. Don't give the pay raises now. Let's see if there's enough increase in income for the following year and the following years after that, that can absorb all these extra costs that are coming in.
Well, it just the impression, I think, that is coming from City Hall is that everything's fine, and you're saying, hey, in a year from now, we're going to be facing really serious issues.
Well, that is true, and here's the other thing. The impression is and isn't fine from City Hall. The financial director was asked point blank by one of the councilmen about this budget that was approved, and she said she didn't approve that budget. In other words, she wasn't putting her stamp of approval on it. And so you have to ask yourself, what is going on? I mean, Mr. Miranda is a person that I highly respect. I really do. And I don't know what kind of pressures have been put on him in order to propose this along with the mayor. I just don't know, and don't really want to discuss it in too much detail, since I don't really know why. But the point is, you've got your financial director saying hold it, and you've got a couple of council members who are saying hold it. One of them voted against it. The other said, I'll vote for it only so that I can bring it back.
Yeah.
In other words, he wasn't for it either. And hopefully they will bring it back and discuss it again and try to make some economic sense out of it for the city of Tucson.
Mayor Miller, I only have about 3 minutes left, and I do want to recognize you being a World War II veteran, a Marine, fought on Saipan, wounded on Saipan, and of course tomorrow, June 6th, is the anniversary of the Normandy invasion. I believe that will be the 69th anniversary. Hard to believe. And Mayor, you sound great. You're 90 years old now, correct?
Correct. it's interesting you say this. Tomorrow is going to be the 6th, which is the D-Day in Europe. And one thing that has always amazed me to this day is that the Battle of Saipan was just on the 14th of June.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And as far as you could see at that morning were American ships. I mean, the power of the American military at that time was enormous, because here they were with all that equipment there in France, you know, on the English Channel, and here we were in the Pacific with all the equipment that anybody could imagine.
Yeah, I knew it was very close, the invasion, as far as the time with D-Day, and consequently Saipan, the invasion of Saipan, which, as you know, was a huge undertaking, really didn't get the publicity, of course. Everything was focused pretty much on the Normandy invasion, and I watched that series that Steven Spielberg produced called The Pacific, and one of the segments is devoted to the Saipan invasion, and they did a pretty good job, I think, of depicting all those ships and all those Marines that landed. That was something, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. There was 8,000 Marines landed in the first 20 minutes, and the salt wave, and through, not through my desire, but I was in the assault wave. So.
Yeah, and you were wounded pretty much right on the beach, correct?
No, it was the next day, but what's interesting, you say pretty much on the beach. You're not far from wrong. I was absolutely on the front lines, Bill, and I didn't know it at the time, but just recently read that we were just 500 yards from the beach.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why the artillery coming in from the Japanese artillery guns were it was like shooting, you know, fish in a barrel, because everybody was compacted in a small area. They couldn't miss anything.
Well, we're losing so many of our World War II veterans every day, and I think it's so important to recognize your generation, Mayor Miller, and the service that you gave to this country as a Marine and as an American, and then your service here in the city. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Mayor.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Bill.
Thanks
Good
a lot.
Luck to you.
Mayor George Miller with us on the Buckmaster Show, talking about the Tucson city budget and a little bit of history, and the Normandy invasion anniversary tomorrow, and of course a few days later will be the anniversary of the American invasion of Saipan. We will be back on the Buckmaster Show.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Twelve 21 on the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition. Well, the Phoenix area mother of seven, I believe she had seven or has seven kids, jailed for 10 days in Sonora on a bogus drug charge, has reinforced among some folks that Mexico is not safe for Americans. On the Buckmaster Show Facebook page this morning, I posed the question to the friends of the show, is it safe for Americans to travel to Sonora? And here's a sampling of what some of them said. Deborah says, is it safe anywhere? Do not let fear control you. Scott said, Is it safe to travel in Arizona? It depends on what part, what time, who you're with, what crazy people happen to be around the corner. It's not a yes or no answer. It's all relative. And Lori says, Rocky Point, here we come. We've probably driven there 150 times in the last 6 years. Well, Keith Rosenblum is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the border. Keith is in Mexico right now. He writes extensively about the border for several publications, including Inside Tucson Business. Keith, how are you today?
Well, Bill, I just want to say that the visitors to your Facebook page are probably a narrow part of society, because I know the IQ level there is a minimum of 150. So right away, that represents a certain, very distinct part of the population. I'd be interested in what more average people had to say.
Well, it is true that overwhelmingly the Buckmaster Show Facebook page people said that it is, in their opinion, safe to travel in Sonora. What do you think, Keith?
Well, having done it for only 30 years and having told people to do it for the same amount of time, and understanding that people are people wherever you go, I would say that story demonstrates a lot of things. It demonstrates the relative idiocy of the people who are manning the checkpoints from the Mexican army. It was a shakedown. It was a foolish one, and it happens, and it's I think the Mexicans have tried to put the best face on it. I don't think it happens very often, but every so often someone just gets caught in a brazen they thought they were doing their job, or they decided they were going to shake somebody down, but it was brazen, and I'm glad that it turned out for the better, a couple days later. What happens is that you have lots of offenses that go on like this in the U.S., and the reason I'm bringing that up is because we have to put this in some kind of perspective. I've done story after story about people who are foreigners who go to the U.S. and are held on You know, probable cause is in the eyes of the officer, who will be held on to. We've seen lots of there's people who have probably been executed in the U.S. for crimes they didn't commit. If you're black or Mexican in the U.S., your conviction rate is substantially higher, and there's controls on that that show that it's actually that there's racial parameters there that mean that you're guilty, or you would not have been guilty had you been white. What happened there in Querobabi, I don't think there's any defense for. I think the Mexicans have looked at it, and they're trying to figure out how do they avoid it again because it costs them big time. But I also hasten to add that there's lots of stuff that goes on in the U.S. The only thing is the Mexicans aren't nearly as good as arming people, getting social media behind something, or going to newspapers or to senators and denouncing things.
Keith Rosenblum is with us. Keith contributes to this program. He writes about the border. He knows about the border. He's been the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and Sonora correspondent for the Arizona.
Borderline personality.
Borderline personality. My question for you, Keith, will, and I know you know the governor of Sonora, Governor Padres, right? Correct. You know him.
I wouldn't say that we were buddies or anything. I've interviewed him a number of times.
Are things going to change? Will this have some repercussions?
Well, they don't have to change because this was an isolated incident. If they changed, that would probably mean that more people would happen to more people. People are people, and in the U.S., if you have people, there's a great Jay-Z song about where he says, "Officer, you're going to grab me for going 56 and a 55." There's the Bob Dylan song about, you know, Hurricane Carter. There's things that need to change, but to think of this as being the way things are in Mexico, this is like a random. This is like me telling you I'm not going to go to Oklahoma because, damn, those twisters are really nailing those Oklahomans. I just don't see it. It's the Mexicans they'll correct. They'll realize what the system will take care of it. In other words, it will happen on its own. Let me ask you this: when was the last time you read a story like that or heard about a story like that? My guess is you'll say quite a while back. And if you did hear about it quite a while back, my guess is it sure wasn't from Sonora. It was probably from Chihuahua or Nuevo León. We're talking about a country of 120 million people. The United States, we're talking about 360 million people. If you want me to bring up examples of how there's a buckmaster living in rural Idaho that, you know, axe murdered somebody, and then for me to hold the rest of the buckmaster clan responsible for it, I'll do so.
No, please don't. And there isn't, that I know of, any axe murders in the clan, which numbers about 2,000 families in the United States.
Well, are you all ready for that?
As far
as family tree in front of you that you're reading from,
as far as the I know, they all they're all good people and whatever. But so as far as tourism, will there be a hit in Sonora or what do
Not
you think?
Not for a second. No.
Okay.
I think people realize this was a brazen shakedown attempt. It's pretty rare. Somebody was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But you know something? I'm in Nogales, Sonora right now, and if I look out the window of the Fray Marcos Hotel where I'm talking to you from, I'm looking at a lot of American tourists who have come down, people who come down for dental work or medical work, or they're going to work at the maquilas, or they're doing something here. Just the tourism, let me ask you a question. Do you think that tourism suffered as a result of the Connecticut shootings or the Colorado theater incident or the murder that took place in South Tucson the other day? Why would you apply a different standard to you going to Mexico than you would a Mexican going to Tucson?
Good point. Keith, I've only got about a minute left. Just your quick take on border apprehensions have gone up. They're still at very low levels, but the Border Patrol says they have gone up. Is there any indication that perhaps the anything to do with the economy that you see, or is this just an anomaly?
Those are for greater minds than this pea-sized one, but I will say that the economy of Mexico and the economy of Sonora generally is so strong. The apprehensions that are taking place, by the way, are not people from Sonora. They're people from the poorer, more rural Indian parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
These are not people from Hermosillo or from Caborca or Nogales who are jumping over the fence. So they're from the south. The rural, you know, rural USA has its issues as well in the economy. The Mexican economy is booming. The ratio of what people used to earn relative to the U.S. might be like, if you earned $1 an hour in Mexico, it'd be like 10 bucks an hour in the U.S. It's now like 1-6 or one. The economy is awfully strong. I just don't see that as being something that needs to be on even the radar of Arizonans. I don't see it as as much of a relevant issue.
Keith, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks for your time. Bye, Bill.
Bye. Thanks a lot. Keith Rosenblum, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico, talking to us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Mexico. He is in right now Nogales, Sonora, Mexico. We'll be right back. Thomason in Washington. President Obama has named U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice to take over as National Security Advisor in a shakeup of his foreign policy team. The American soldier charged with killing 16 Afghan civilians during nighttime raids on two villages last year says he's asked himself many times why he did what he did and has come up with no answer. The head of the Transportation Security Administration is dropping a proposal that would have allowed airline passengers to carry small knives, souvenir bats, golf clubs, and other sports gear onto airliners. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 179 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index is off 38, and the S&P 18 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Buckmaster with you Monday through Friday right here live during the noon hour. And we are in our beginning of our third year this week on KVOI. Our thanks to everyone here at the station. Let's bring in now State Representative Andrea D'Alessandro, Democrat, District 2, Sahorita. Representative D'Alessandro calling us on the live line from the Capitol. Representative D'Alessandro, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you, Bill. Good to be with you.
Oh, it's good to be with you, and there is news after a couple of weeks of a lack of news out of the House concerning the Medicaid, the governor's Medicaid expansion plan. I guess House Speaker Andy Tobin has pretty much given up his bid to block the expansion plan. Is that the latest you're hearing?
Yes, it is. You know, the Democrats are sent here with one constitutional mandate to do the budget, and here it is June 5th, and we don't have it yet. But we're going to be back after tomorrow. We're going to return to the floor on Monday. We're going back to a Monday meeting. I believe we'll be on the floor at 1:30. So I think everyone's getting serious now.
But as far as this week, looks like it will start up then in earnest next week.
Right, yeah. We had a false alarm. We thought we might be here on Friday, but they've decided to wait till next week.
Tell us where this stands right now. Speaker Tobin says that I guess he's conceded that he lacks the number of votes, but is he still planning to push his own alternative plan? Is that what you understand?
Well, I'm sure there's going to be. I'm certain that he wants to have his mark on the budget process and perhaps on Medicaid. But I'm really not sure what's going to come. There's a lot of packages being shopped around, and it's really hard for me to comment until I see the details.
Representative Tobin has said, though, that the budget process may have all sorts of amendments, and I guess, as you say, you can't really comment till you see it. But are you looking at perhaps this being resolved next week?
Yes, I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful about next week.
I mean, it could be the end of the session. You're saying by the end of the week.
Right. It's possible, but Bill, up here, things can change on a dime, and I wouldn't put any money on it, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
The votes, are they there for the Medicaid expansion?
Yes.
If all 24 of you and 23 of your Democrats go along, I guess.
Yes, and the number may even be growing.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Let's talk about this session. Other than the Medicaid expansion, have you been pleased with what has happened up there, or what?
Well, I do support the governor with her Medicaid restoration because it's really what the voters, you know, wanted, and they voted twice in the past to support that. And I'm also pleased with some of the governor's budget to increase funding for public education and, some other good things. I think we'll go through a kind of dance, a strategy dance, and I think we may see the same kind of scenario that happened in the Senate, where the Appropriation Committee takes things out, and then on the floor we have to put them. It's kind of like doing the hokey pokey. You put it in, and then you put it out, and then you put it back in.
How about for Southern Arizona? What's been important out of this session?
Well, you know, Bill, I'm still fighting about Cherry Bell Mail Processing Center because it'll be a financial and job blow to Southern Arizona. I'm starting to hear from constituents complaining about the mail service.
You're talking to one of, I'm not a constituent of yours directly, but you're talking to someone who just had an experience this week with my business, with a very important piece of mail that was lost, and I believe, this is my opinion on this, but I believe it's because of the mail from Tucson, Arizona, having to go to Phoenix to the processing center. If it's happening to me, a small businessman representative, think mm-hmm. about other business people who have a much larger stake in this community. But I've had a personal experience this week, and I'm telling you, I am not happy about it.
Right. Okay. You know, that's really good, Bill. We should, you know, be compiling all of these experiences because I'm hearing from people in Nogales. I'm hearing from people in Tucson, people in Tubac, and they're starting to realize the negative effect that the proposed closing of the Cherry Bell Mail Processing Center will have on all of Southern Arizona. I am encouraged that at least the Democratic congressional delegation, all five of them have signed on, and now there's a bipartisan effort in the U.S. Congress with, I believe, 46 Congress people signing on, and I think that we need to put pressure on the Republican Arizona delegation because they should be standing with us in Southern Arizona, especially Senators Flake and McCain.
Well, I'm telling you, I for the life of me, I cannot understand. I'm telling you, you've touched a nerve here. For the life mm-hmm. of me, I cannot understand how a city of whatever we are, a half million in the mm-hmm. city of Tucson, how we do not have our own postmark. It's all postmarked Phoenix. Not only is mail being lost, and I'm saying this from personal experience, mm-hmm. but the delay add 2 or 3 days, I'm figuring, to the mail.
Right. And, you know, we do have two national offices of not-for-profits in Tucson, and they're going to be adversely affected. It's just going to have a ripple effect through our community. So even though my House Concurrent Memorial 2007 really did all it could do, it sent a letter of protest to Speaker Boehner and to Senate President Harry Reid and the entire Arizona delegation, we have to really press Congress. This is a bad thing. You know, Bill, all the reasons I fought for my HCM 2007, it's in the Constitution to support the post office. I know some would like to privatize it, but it's against the Constitution before amendments. Additionally, in this current economy, we can't have more veterans lose jobs. Next to the Department of Defense, the United States Postal Service employs more veterans than any other entity in the country.
Yeah, good point. Representative D'Alessandro, thank you for spending a few minutes with us. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Always good to be on your show, Bill.
Thanks a lot. 12:42 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk about a trip to Mars and all of the hazards that are involved in such an undertaking. Dr. Mark Sykes is waiting in the wings. He is on his way right now to the Buckmaster Studios. He'll be coming up next after we hear from some of the fine people who support the Buckmaster Show.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Want the best care for your companion animal?
then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. It's now 12:47 on the Buckmaster Show. I strongly urge you to take a trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Yes, it's going to be pushing 105, who knows, 106, but I can guarantee you, if you had 3.5 hours east of Tucson to the mile-high elevation city of Silver City in Grant County, I can guarantee the temperature will be about 15 degrees cooler up there. So that alone is worth it to check out Silver City. And while you're there, experience the solitude of the Gila, the nation's first wilderness area. Many fine places to stay, including Pinos Altos Cabins, Wilderness Lodge, and on, all the listing of the great places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. We have sent many friends of the Buckmaster Show over to Silver City, and they all come back and say the same thing. Bill, I'm so glad I went over there. I didn't have any idea what a beautiful area that is of the country. Let's take another trip
to Mars, where astronauts traveling to and from Mars would be hit with as much radiation as they would get from a full-body CT scan about once a week for a year. That is the recent conclusion by researchers, and let's have Dr. Mark Sykes now weigh in on that. Dr. Sykes is the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating its 41st year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes chairs NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. Dr. Sykes, good to see you.
Great to be here, Bill.
You've been very involved in the development of commercial human space flights. A trip to Mars would probably not be a commercial venture. It'd probably be some kind of a government-sanctioned trip. But hey, the dangers are still there, whoever's sanctioning it.
Yeah, and the results that were discussed is really kind of a lower limit because the sun wasn't misbehaving too much over the course of this trip. But kind of the exposure that a person would get going to Mars, coming back, and spending about 500 days on the surface would increase your cancer risk by more than fatal cancer risk by more than 5%, and that's kind of beyond the threshold that NASA sets for sort of for safety.
Well, that is the deep space exploration problem with radiation is really one of the big issues, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. Sure. I mean, yeah, and you need some kind of safe hole if you're going out there because if there's a big solar flare, which could really make for a bad day, then you need to have some shielded place to go to protect yourself from a large pulse of radiation. And unlike the atmosphere of the Earth, and we have the radiation belts that protect us from these particles coming in from the sun, Mars is a much thinner atmosphere. The surface pressure, average surface pressure of Mars, is about 0.6% of the sea level pressure of the Earth. So that's like being up, I think it's about 22 miles. it's just below where Felix Baumgartner dived, and he was wearing a spacesuit.
So one of those little capes they put over you to do x-rays when you go to the dentist, I guess you'd need something a little stronger if you were on a trip to Mars.
And stylish, yes.
and the spacecraft would have to have I guess weight would be a huge factor too, right?
That is a factor.
Protecting you from to protect you from the radiation.
Yeah, yeah. You'd want to be carrying along something like, it could be as simple as water. That's a very good shield against a lot of this radiation. But that's more mass, and then that requires more fuel to get there. So it's a difficult problem.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us. If you would like to weigh in, 790-2040, if you have any questions about Mars. While I was on vacation over in Central California, I was reading in one of the local papers, and of course I was going to bring the article because I was thinking of you. We'll talk about this. They were talking about different propulsion systems that are being explored for the Mars trip. Does that ring a bell at all with you?
Well, there's been a lot of systems discussed over the years, electric propulsion systems, like maybe powered.
This was like an
powered.
Ion?
Yeah,
ionic,
yeah, that's
thing.
The
that's
ion.
The ion.
Well, that's the kind of engine that drives the Dawn mission that I'm a co-investigator on. We were just at Vesta, and now we're on our way to the largest object in the asteroid belt, the Small Planet Ceres, and we use ion drive. So instead of exploding chemicals in a reaction and blasting the plume out the back in the spacecraft to push it forward, you take some atoms like xenon, and you strip off the electrons, and you have a particle accelerator that over a very short distance, the tens of centimeters, that you accelerate it out the back end at very high velocity. And so it's very efficient, much more efficient than chemical thrusters, but it's very slow, like say 0 to 60 in 3 days. instead of you having 15 minutes of thrust, you might have months of thrust.
That wouldn't necessarily, if you want to get to Mars as quickly as possible, the ionic way would be this,
the slow trip, perhaps.
Well, no, no, it wouldn't be much slower, and it would take less mass, you know, because you'd need less instead of having all this explosive fuel, you'd have something like xenon or something like that, and you wouldn't need as much, you'd carry as much mass with you in order to make the trip. So it would be an efficiency that could be to the benefit of making the trip.
You know, I just assumed that it would be a government trip, that first trip to Mars, but I guess, first of all, NASA is planning to, the current thinking, sending a crew to orbit the red planet by the mid-2030s, mm-hmm. but private outfits like Inspiration Mars, backed by NASA engineer-turned-space tourist Dennis Tito, are actually seeking volunteers for a Mars flight. So perhaps there could be a commercial flight to Mars.
Well, yeah, if you happen to have the sufficiently deep pockets, you know, maybe that's a possibility.
That Virgin Galactic thing may go so well. That
yeah. I'll kind of believe that when I see it. It's really nice that there's the enthusiasm, and I would hope that what we could start talking about is how to, you know, really systematically expand our presence beyond the Earth as a moving away from more of the stunt-based activities.
But with the way things are going with budget cuts, maybe the mid-2030s for a Mars mission may be a little optimistic right now.
It could be, but again, you know what they're planning is really a one-off, you know, where you put all your resources together for a big, you know,
big
shove
orbit.
Off to Mars orbit, yeah. Come back, yeah. As opposed to investing in infrastructure such as figuring out how to build a self-sustaining space transportation system using asteroid resources to provide the water that would give you the fuel to go to places like Mars without having to bring everything up from the surface of the Earth at great expense. And whether that's practical or not is another question, but it's a question that would be great to address.
Mark Sykes is with us, Dr. Sykes from the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, and your group, PSI, is very much involved with studying what goes on with Mars. I see a recent news release from your team over there at PSI concerning flowing water that once flowed on Mars, that transported sand and rocks along a Martian stream bed. We continue to get more and more evidence of Mars being at one time a kind of a home for liquid-based things.
Mm-hmm. Becky Williams, one of our scientists and part of the Curiosity team, found a stream bed in Gale Crater where the Curiosity rover is zipping around. And they estimated that the rocks there had to have been flowing for a while in a stream about, you know, hip deep. And but episodic, because it didn't form some chemical rinds around it that you know around the outside of the rock from interacting with the water like we see on that happened for earth streams that are continuous. And but it's not just, you know, billions of years ago, but there's, you know, we know that there's liquid water flowing on the surface of Mars today, seasonally. You know, we've seen that on the walls of a number of craters around the equatorial region of Mars. And then that's very exciting because that raises the question of whether there could be life on Mars today.
So certainly the telltale signs of water transportation are there on Mars, and as you say, water still on Mars. And what this, I always say there's real, I guess there's no stupid questions, no. When you're not a scientist, but when
even
did all,
when you're a scientist, there's no stupid
okay.
questions.
So when did all of this liquid, that when did it all dry up? I mean, other than what we see seasonably.
Well, there seems to have been massive floods on the surface of Mars. We see these giant channels, outflow channels, particularly in the north. And that occurred a couple of billion years ago. I may be off a billion or so. And so it's been relatively dry, you know, since then. Though there are massive deposits of ice, you know, underneath the surface that are covered by dust and rocks. And, of course, we see the polar caps that have water ice as well as some carbon dioxide ice on it. So there's a lot of water up there. But yeah, it's been a long time since Mars was, shall we say, balmy.
You know, I just had a thought. If some of our spacecraft that are doing all these measurings on Mars, what if they were to find something like really valuable, like gold or something?
Gold wouldn't be that valuable. It's too expensive to bring back.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. I was thinking, well, maybe if there was something really exciting that they found on Mars, that might speed up the timetable of getting.
Well, yeah, I like to say the most valuable substance in the universe is water.
Yeah,
you know, because when you get out there and you find water, and if it's easily accessible, well, then you've got fuel, you've got life support, you've got radiation shielding, and you have the basis for expanding human activity beyond the Earth.
And the website, which we strongly recommend folks, go to psi.edu. Planetary Science Institute is a terrific resource in this community, not only from an economic standpoint, but from an education standpoint as well. They do great work. I'm a member of PSI. I invite everybody else to take a look and perhaps become members as well. Dr. Sykes, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be here.
All right. Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan. Culligan offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. All of our guests, in-studio guests, are offered and provided with a bottle of Culligan water. We haven't had one complaint yet. And why would we? Because Culligan water, it just simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon on the John C. Scott Show, John will be up from 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. Then tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. We will be back with you tomorrow, Thursday, on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to devote the whole first half hour to climate change. One of the nation's leading climate scientists will be with us in studio. And for those that are still not buying into it, well, we'd love to hear from you tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.